Time we got together was Revelation chapter 12. We were in a little closet over there. We ain't in that closet no more. And so we're gonna spread out here in the big house, the big building. But chapter 12, Revelation. No elbow. You ain't got no elbow. Mike, you need to slide over some. They call it SOS, slide over some. Amen. That's what they call it. Those chairs do uncouple. Oh, okay. All right. I know you guys are a close family, but that's a little too close. You'll catch on fire with your mom's coat on. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, we talked about what? The wonder, the great sign that was in heaven. And it talked about the sun and the moon and the crown, the 12 stars. Remember, that represented Israel. It is very imperative that you understand, and I have to repeat it, if somebody is teaching you the book of Revelation and they don't teach chapter 12 properly, then chances are everything they taught here or before then is messed up. And their theology's messed up. Their eschatology's messed up. Their prayer life is probably messed up because they don't know how to rightfully put Israel on their prayer list. Israel is so important in your prayer list. Okay. Yes, we don't agree with everything man does and governments. We got all that. But it is still the place that God chose as the apple of his eye. He chose Jerusalem. He chose the people. I can't help it. Don't get over it. If you got a racism problem, you need to get over it. You'll be surprised how many preachers have racism against God's people. Because we think we're now God's people. Yeah, we're included and grafted in the vine, but we'll never replace Israel. All right, and I have no problem with that, amen? I have room in my heart to share for others. So, talks about dominion, also talks about creation and authority. Said that what that was underneath the feet. Travail talked about the nation being born and the nation going through and different things. Verse 3 talks about Satan's fall, and we're going to get into that here in chapter 13 about the kingdom of darkness that is coming. And then Daniel speaks of the escape to where? Petra, we know that is in Jordan. It's a possibility that Israel either will have a great relationship with Jordan more than they do now, or they're going to get part of Jordan or all of Jordan back from Psalms 83:3 war. We don't know how that's going to pan out or turn out, but one thing's for sure, Israel's going to have to pack up and go. It's going to be a very, very different time for Israel. And then verse 14, talk about divine protection. Flood of persecution or the flood of armies, 15, 16, and 17 talks about, remember how the horse and the rider was thrown into the sea? If God did it for Israel once, he's going to do it again. Amen? And if you don't believe that, just think about all the times you've been in trouble. Why don't you look behind you and see where they are now? Wow, I had some people that were after me. I don't see them anymore. I can look out my window now. I don't see them anymore. Well, if God did it for them and he did it for you, he'll do it again. Okay, Revelation chapter 13. Now, we're still in this teaching vein. The apostle, the bishop, if you will, John, who became a pastor after his time of exile, is a teacher. He's teaching us. But greater than John is obviously the one who gave John the message, and that's God the Father. God the Father is a teacher. So in chapter 12, 13, and 14, we take a break from all that's taking place in the tribulation time and get a history lesson and a teaching lesson so we know where we are, so we can understand where we're headed and get kind of our eschatology and our mind straight on the plan of God. Aren't you glad that even in the midst of chaos, God can stop it, part the Red Sea, and say, wait a minute, let me explain to you something. And see, he's doing that for us because we are on the precipice of all this. I'm going to try that again. We're on the precipice of all this. We're on the edge. We're on the cliff. We're right there in the midst of the frontal boundaries, if you will, of this great storm called tribulation. And we are an end time generation. I'm not planning 20, 30 years down the road. I'm planning 20 weeks. I mean, I'm looking ahead to see what God's up to so I can prepare. Now, I'm not a fatalist. I would love to see beyond that time, but I want to be a realist according to the word. Okay. So, Revelation chapter 13. Again, we're going to talk about the beast. We're going to talk about the false prophet and different things. But I stood upon the sand of the sea. In other words, a beach. I stood upon the beach. And I saw a beast. Everybody say beast. This beast, this definition of a beast, is a very, very wicked creature. Venomous creature. A venomous creature. When it says beast here, he's talking about a person, but he's using it in the description that it is a very venomous, very evil beast. In other words, this is not Tom the house cat. I wouldn't take this beast home. This ain't the kind you put on your lap and go prrr, prrr. Of course, I'd never have a cat on my lap, but you know what I'm saying, or some puppy dog, whatever you like. Maybe it's a possum. Maybe some of y'all collect possums. I don't know. But anyways, whatever it may be, just don't mistake a possum for a skunk, because that'd be a bad day. This beast is not good. So that's the Greek definition of that beast. And he rise up out of what? The sea. I want you to write down the word sea, and next to that I want you to put humanity. Humanity. Because sea in the Bible always represents humanity. It represents the masses of people. Okay? And so he raises up out of humanity. What that is telling us, the beast that is coming is from among us. It will be human. He will be human, I should say. So, in fact, he's already alive today. If you believe we're in the last days, this beast is already on the earth. So he's going to rise up from among us. He's going to rise up on the world scene. He's probably already speaking on the world scene. We probably already see him, but don't know who he is yet. But he's rising up out of that sea. Having said seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. So let's look at that. The seven heads and 10 horns. Seven represents what? The seven world powers. Seven seas, seven world powers. The 10 horns represents complete power. The number 10 is for order. The number 10 also means completion. And horn always represents what? In the Bible, horn always represents power. That's why you're anointed with a horn of oil. That's why you blow the shofar. It represents power. Okay? That's why talked about the tied to the horns of the altar. That's where the power is at. Okay? And then the 10 crowns represents 10 other rulers or federation or a network or a unified kingdoms that are tied into the Antichrist system. Okay? And we'll go into more of that in just a minute. We'll have to go somewhere else to get that information. And then upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. The name of blasphemy. So in other words, this beast that rises up, this Antichrist coalition that comes together with him, is not going to be a God-loving, God-fearing, peaceful type of system. It's going to be pro everything evil, pro everything that we're against as Christians. Can you start seeing the beast system now? You remember the word the Lord gave me that whenever the Supreme Court made the decision on gay marriage, that was the beginning of the beast system. And I really believe that, because what did we see right after that? Lawsuit after lawsuit, lawsuit after lawsuit. And it's only going to increase as we enter in 2016. Because as we lose our democracy here in America, it will spread like wildfire around the world. Because we are the last lighthouse for democracy. We are the last lighthouse. And so that's coming up. So the names of blasphemy. So they're not going to have any problem cussing God and cursing God. They're not going to have any problem with instituting unrighteous laws. It's just going to be part of their nature, because it will be a nature of the devil. You got that. Verse 2. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. Remember, like as unto. Doesn't mean it was. It was like unto. There was a symbolic vision here that it was likened to a leopard. So let's look at that again. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard. What is a leopard? A leopard is bloodthirsty. A leopard is, again, that's not something you're going to bring home to mom. Hi, mom, I brought you some. It's in the trunk. I'll be in the house when you get it. No, you don't bring mom home a leopard. Amen. And so a leopard is not, again, something that you cuddle or you hold. This is bloodthirsty. And his feet were as the feet of a bear. The quality of a bear is to do what? To maul and to crush. So listen, what you're looking at now is a system. A system that is bloodthirsty. A system that crushes everything and mauls everything. And his mouth is as the mouth of a lion. What does a lion do? When a lion roars, everybody else gets quiet. So it is an authority. It's a dictatorship. It is, you will do what I tell you to do. Oh, wow. Well, you got the lion characteristic or the bear characteristic. You have the leopard characteristic. I think I'd be scared of the voice too. If it was just a voice and it was the, you know, the feet of a chicken, that wouldn't bother me too. I can handle a chicken. You can handle a chicken. If it was a, you know, a house cat, I wouldn't be worried about it. So that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about some very, very powerful, powerful leadership that's coming. And the dragon, everybody say the devil, because that should be translated Satan or the devil. The dragon gave him his power. Now write that word down, his power, those two words, his power. This is very important. Very important you see this. When he's talking about his power, he's not talking about giving the Antichrist a power to do it, like permission. He's literally giving his power. Satan's power is going to be put upon this man. Because what happened? Satan was what? Cast out of heaven. And remember, we learned about it, what? That the whole world, God basically said, woe unto the world, because what? Satan has been cast down to you. Right now, he's the prince of the air. When this takes place, he will no longer be in the prince of the air. He'll no longer have access to God as accuser of the brethren. He will be completely dethroned, and he's mad as hell. He's as mad as he possibly can be. You say, why? Because he knows his time is short. So Satan is now on earth. And look what it says here. And he says he gives him his power. What you're going to see right now is the same type of anointing, the same type of ordination, if you will, that was given to Jesus when Jesus walked on the earth. Why? Because the Antichrist is looking for a son. Or excuse me, the devil is looking for a son who is the Antichrist. This is powerful. And anybody that, and I know this doesn't get taught much because we're already raptured, remember? But when you learn the Bible and you see you ain't gone nowhere yet, you need to know this information. You need to understand. Hey, I don't want to be ignorant. I don't want to get to heaven and God say, well, why didn't you study to show yourself approved? Why didn't you ask me? Well, because your pastor ain't going to stand there and block nothing for you. Amen. You got to do it yourself. So look, he says he gave him power, his power and his seat. So not only did he get the power of the devil, he got his seat, which means his throne. So whatever dominion that the devil had as the prince of air, it is now on the earth and it is being put into one man, just like as an example, Jesus receiving the fullness of God. This man will receive the fullness of the devil. This isn't just an antichrist, this guy that just hates Christians and hates the Bible and hates puppy dogs. Goes around stepping on ants and This is just going to be the devil incarnate, if you will. This is heavy duty. And then he is going to have great authority. Say mega authority. He's going to have mega, mega, mega authority. So he's bloodthirsty. He has crushing power. He's full of the devil. The devil gave him his power. He gave him his throne. He gave him mega authority. And all hell will be released on earth, just as all heaven was released while Jesus walked on the earth. You got to remember, Jesus lived and he ministered for what? 3.5 years. And God, in the fairness of who he is, will give the devil an opportunity for 3.5 years through the Antichrist. Through the fullness of what the Antichrist is going to do. We'll get into what he does in the beginning 3.5 in just a minute. Go to Luke chapter 21, and I'm going to show you some stuff you may not have seen here in just a minute. But go to Luke chapter 21, and let's look here at verse 25. And I want to show you something you may not have seen this. If you did, that's cool. And if you didn't, it's all right. And I've taught it, but I'm going to teach it a different way. Luke 21, verse 25, it says this, "And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations." Distress of nations. Distress of nations. What does that mean? That means that the world will be in such cataclysmic problems economically. We're right there now. Socially, we're right there now. Militarily, we're right there now. Politically, we are definitely there right now. It'll have all this calamity going on the nations and the earth. Then it says this, "With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." That goes back to Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. Because out of the roaring seas, out of the roaring chaos of the nations, will come the Antichrist. The Antichrist does not come on Christmas Day when everybody's happy and got all their gifts. He comes on Halloween, if you will, on the worst day. He comes on a day when all hell has broke loose in the world, when the economy has dropped down to nothing, when people are just slaughtering each other in the streets, there's martial law, there's wars and rumors of wars, then all of a sudden he comes out of the perplexity of nations, the distress of nations, the seas roaring, he comes up. And he brings peace. So we know that. We know that's coming. The Bible is very clear on that. But I wanted to show you that in Luke chapter 21, because a lot of times we just preach that from an end time point of view, saying it's all has to do with the atmosphere, though it does, in part, it does also deal with the nations of the world. Now go to Daniel. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7. Keep your place in Revelation. Everybody okay? It's getting warmer in here. Is it? I'm just talking positive. How you doing over there? Okay. She's not holding those signs up or saying that to me. Huh? You'll tell me later? She's going to fix something. Isn't that something? Oh, just keep talking. Okay. All right. I'm not going to mess with the sound lady. Or the cook. All right. Daniel chapter 7. Let's take a real quick road or journey down this prophetic road to prophecy past. That's what's really speaking to prophecy future. How many of y'all know the Bible will interpret the Bible? Okay, let's look at this. Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. "In the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. And then he wrote the dream and told them the sum of the matters. And Daniel spake and said, I saw my vision by night and beheld the four winds of the heavens strove against the great sea." Okay, what do we have here? Four winds representing four kingdoms, the sea representing humanity. "The four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another, and the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised up upon its side and had three ribs in the mouth of it and the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, Arise and devour much flesh." These are all kingdoms in history that Daniel was speaking of, world kingdoms. Verse 6, "And after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of its four wings of a fowl, and the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given unto it. And after this I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and broke in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns." Who's he talking about? The Antichrist. This is the fourth kingdom, okay? And I considered the horns, and behold, there came out among them another little horn. You might want to remember that. A little horn, which were of the three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in his horns were eyes, the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Again, this is a description of the Antichrist rising up to power, destroying three different kingdoms or three different nations, showing his dominion and power. So there will be in the end times a coalition or a bringing together of this power of the Antichrist by destroying other nations. If you can't see nations falling and rising right now, you're not awake. Just look at the Middle East. Some nations, even strong nations like Saudi Arabia, are teetering on breaking down. Well, they're almost broke. That will amaze you with all the money that they're almost broke. So Europe is in tatters. If we make it through 2016, this is not prophecy, this is just intelligence by studying. If we make it through 2016 with Europe still connected, it would be pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. What's happening over there with the Muslims coming in and all the craziness is destroying that country, if you will, that continent. So he said he considered it in verse 9, and I beheld the 10 until the thrones were cast down, the Ancient of Days, come on, that's a reason to shout, did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair and his head, and the hair of his head was like pure wool, and his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Man, that's beautiful. Let's go on down, and let's look at verse 13. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds. Came with what? My Jesus is coming back with clouds. Of heaven, he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before them, and there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, language should serve him, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That's something there to shout about. And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. Notice that he asked him the truth, and so he told me. And made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, here it is. He's given us explanation. And again, this is Revelation chapter 13. And they're great, these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Verse 19, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, while he devoured broken pieces, stamped the residue with his feet, and the 10 horns that were in his head, and all the other which came upon him before him, the 3 fell, even the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I behold, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. You're not going to hear that on Sunday morning preaching. Because all we hear is we win, we win, we win. There comes a time when we're overcome at the end. I'll save that for another day. The verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms and shall devour. This is why I went this far. Look at the next words. Shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. In the verse 25, you can read it on your own. It talks about speaking blasphemous things and high things. That's speaking of the Antichrist. All right. Now go back to Revelation chapter 13. I did that so the Bible can interpret itself. I did it so you won't say, well, my pastor said, well, here's what the Bible said, not what my pastor said. The Bible said these are kingdoms, and there's one last kingdom that's coming, and it's right now. This is the amazing thing. This whole thing that's happening right now with the stocks and the economy and oil and everything crashing, all this is a resetting to a new economic order that's coming that will be a beast system. That's all you're watching. You're watching it fall apart right before your very eyes. This is an amazing time to live. It really, really is. I hate to see what's coming down the road, but I'm excited because I know this is our time for kingdom life. It's going to be a short window, But we're gonna do it. Amen. And we're gonna enjoy every minute of it. And so he says, let's go back to verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And a deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. So what's going to happen? There's going to be an assassination, or some type of death will take place to the Antichrist. The Antichrist literally will die, but he will be raised from the dead. Now, some Bible preachers say, well, it's symbolic. It means a nation will fall and then resurrected. No, it's a literal assassination or a literal death. Why? Because everything the devil's going to do is to copy the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's not symbolic. It's going to be literal. And here's the thing. This is what I want you to have. You're going to have to give me about 10 more minutes. 10 after 10. 8. Is that okay? Or 10 after 10 would be good. Flo said, Elder said, it'll probably be warm by then. No, I'm just kidding. She didn't say it. She thought it, but she didn't say it. No. Just give me about 10 after. Because I want to get all that out to you, because this is really cool stuff here. What was I talking about? I was talking about him being having that same assassination, that same type of life. And here's the thing I want you to leave with. Yes, get this information I'm giving you, but what I'm going to leave you with is this. Don't get caught up in signs and wonders and miracles. Even in this church, we're going to see signs and wonders. We've already seen them. We're going to see greater things. But really, we need to be balanced in this right here, the Word. Because what's coming, how can I explain this to you? This is the best way. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's going to be just like Elijah and the prophets of Baal. It's going to be like Moses and Pharaoh's magicians. It's going to be just like the sorcerers. What's going to happen? They're going to throw a stick on the ground and there's a snake going to come out, but we're going to throw another stick down and it's going to eat the snake. But the folks that see the first snake didn't see the second snake are going to fall in love with those who threw down the first stick in the first snake. If we are grounded and rooted in charismatic Pentecostal bumps and boots, you know, all this stuff, we're going to get caught up in the first stick and the first snake. Trust me. There's people who go from churches to churches because they go around like Holy Ghost thermometers checking the anointing level. Well, they didn't pray in tongues, and they didn't do this. And you know what? Come on, man. There's more to all those things in the Word, and I'm gonna get into the minute. But I want you in this teaching, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, to keep in your mind that it is not about supernatural things, because what's coming is going to blow the church away. You just think for a minute, the folks you know. Let's just do that. I see names popping up. Whoop, 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 church name. You just think of people who go to churches where God does not move supernaturally, and all of a sudden they see God move supernatural, or see the supernatural movement, and they're not rooted in truth. What's going to happen? They're going to fall for anything. I feel the prophetic coming on, and I want to be cool, but it's going to be a sad day that many, many people are going to be deceived because they don't know who God is. They're going after signs and what Jesus said. Look, an evil generation seeks after sign. An evil generation wants to see the miracles. All right, that doesn't mean you don't go after miracles and want to see miracles. It just means that we have to have a balance, that it isn't all about the supernatural. All right. And so I saw one of the beasts, as it were, wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed. This is my point. Look what happens. And all the world, say all the world, all the world, the whole world, the church world, the pagan world, the heathens, the bikers, the drinkers, all the world, they did what? They marveled, or they wondered. The word wonder means marveled. They marveled after the beast. Can you imagine? We're all sitting around having dinner, you know, and all of a sudden, we watch a presidential or an ambassador, a convention, and he's going through the crowd and he's shot in the head, and you watch the explosion like JFK. Everybody saw JFK. How many people seen JFK video more than one time in your lifetime? I've seen it 30, 40, 50, 100 times. Rewinded it, stopped, tried to see it. Come on, we all thought. What if that happened, and instead of the bodyguard trying to get out of the vehicle, put his hands on JFK, and it all came back together? What would the world do?
they all wonder at the beast.
Some theologians believe that this will happen right in front of the false prophet, and there'll be an instant galvanizing of both the position of the Antichrist and the position of the false prophet. I don't know. But all I know, the Bible says he was dead and he is now alive, and everybody goes, wow. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen that happen in a church service? No, I've heard people raised from the dead. I've prayed for people, and you know, we've heard of all kinds of miracles take place, but I've never seen Billy Graham shot in the head and come back to life. Listen, this is huge. This is going to be mega. And the whole world will marvel. You better know your Bible. If your preacher don't preach, if preachers don't preach the book of Revelation, and this gets forgotten because we're too over in the happy chapters, and this takes place right in front of your face on television screen, and you're going to be part of those deceived. And you say, no, I know the Bible. If you don't know this part of the Bible, you will be deceived. And I'm going to prove it to you in just a minute. I need 20 more minutes now. Abby goes, ah! Whose child is that? But the word wounded means to be butchered. So he's not going to get cut shaven and come out of the ready room with bleeding neck. He's going to be butchered. That's what the word says. Look it up. And look at verse 4. I love how the Bible just interprets the Bible. And they worshiped the dragon, the devil. I don't have my board up yet, but if I did, I'd write down the Greek word for you. Be ready for it. I'm not going to give you the word, but I'm going to give you the definition. The definition of the word worshiped in this passage means this: like a dog licks the hands and the face of his master. Go home and let your dog, you know, you get home, your dog, especially when you come back from Bell's or M&J's. You're a hero, man. I mean, before you get in the yard, from your toe, and if you put your face down there, it'd lick every hair off your face. That's what this is going to be, as funny as it is. But look at it. They worship him. Who? The devil. Not the Antichrist per se. They knew it was the devil. This is how world shocking this is. We've never seen anything like this before. We've heard about resurrection from the dead, but we've never seen somebody butchered and brought back to life. Who's like this devil? Come on. Preachers can't even get people to do right, and you know, all the stuff we struggle with in Christianity. But all of a sudden, this demonic miracle takes place, and they begin worshiping him to the point of a dog licking its master's hands in his face. It seems almost impossible, doesn't it? But it's going to happen. That's how messed up the days will be. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and then they worship the beast. Same thing. Saying, who is like unto the beast, which is able, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 in months. In other words, 3.5 years. So all that's starting to take place here, again, is God is giving us a snapshot. This all starts when the abomination that causes desolation begins. So in other words, the pre-rapture people, the pre-tribulation rapture people, they believe that we're out of here before the Antichrist ever comes into scene. And I've already proved it through the word that is not true. We will be here when he makes his scene. But we will see him as the peacemaker. We'll see him as one of the four horsemen. We'll see him coming in peace and speaking great things, and people look at him and say, man, he solved the economy problem, he solved AIDS, he solved Ebola, he has solved. And all of a sudden, the world is at peace, and he somehow brought Israel and the Palestinians together and made everything beautiful. We're all hugging each other, and we are the world. And then right at the abomination that causes desolation, all this starts to take place. You want to talk about a
power pack moment. And he opened his mouth with blasphemies against God. When did he do that? The abomination that causes desolation. To blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, the temple, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. This will be worldwide. Remember, when we go back to Revelation chapter 11, the two witnesses are what? They're overcome and they're killed. We go through a time of persecution and we're raptured out of there in verse 11. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life and the Lamb, slain from the foundations of the world. And if any man hath an ear, let him hear. In other words, if you know how to hear the voice of God, listen. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. You know what he's saying here? If you go in the prison, you go in the prison. If you die, you die. But here's the patience of the saints. Endure. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Listen, one preacher made a good point. He said, of course, we're not going to be here the 7 years, but his point was this. It's only 7 years. You think about a lifetime. You think about 70 years. You think about 60, 50. It's only 7 years. We're going to get through this. I mean, just think, we're going on our fifth year being married together. Seems like yesterday, don't it? I mean, it really does. It doesn't even feel like, it doesn't feel that long, does it? Verse 10, and he leadeth into captivity, shall I go into captivity. Told you that. Verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns. Two horns. What does that mean? He has double power. He's anointed. Not Holy Ghost power. Two horns, like a lamb. Everybody say lamb. That is a form of religion. The lamb represents religion. He's going to be formed. And, you know, we'll just call it, some people want to call it the office of the Pope. That's fine. But whatever the office is, he is going to be a religious leader that's going to have great power in his realm of religiosity. And if you look at the office of the Pope, you can see that he has a great ability to bring the masses together. I mean, just recently he brought several high-profile Pentecostal charismatic leaders, Protestant leaders together in the Vatican, all under the umbrella of ecumenical agreement and unity. That's powerful. I can't get a Baptist pastor to sit down with me to have a Happy Meal. Of course, I never asked one, but I'm just saying. You know how it is. We can't get people even to agree on the simplest things in the body. So this is what it's going to be, but it's going to be double that power. It's going to be an incredible anointing, okay? And he spake like as a dragon. In other words, he spoke like the devil. You ever listen to the Pope? Looks like a lamb, comes in there, you know, nice and in the white outfit and all that. So, and next thing you know, after he gets done doing this, then it's, everything's anti-God, anti-Christianity. All these things go on, all these things are said, all these things. And what is he doing? He's speaking like a dragon. Look what he says in verse 12. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Notice that he has all power to direct the world to this beast to worship him. It's pretty powerful. Look what it says here in verse 13. This is why I'm telling you, get away from seeking after signs. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. Well, we're going to be doing that too. The Bible already says we can do it. The Bible has already proved that man submitted to God under his authority can do signs and wonders. But this is going to be in the midst of this beast, this Antichrist coming back to life, and all the attention is going to be on these two. What are you watching? What are you watching right now is the unholy Trinity coming to fruition in the world. The Antichrist, the dragon, and the false prophet. See, the devil always wanted to be like God, but he never will be. Never will be like God. And it says this in verse 14,
and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. Read it with me. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. Look, there are people who you watch on television that are doing miracles who are living in sin. Don't have no names to give you. But there's a truth to that. There's people in our community, there's people you've sat under as preachers or whatever, have done great things but had wicked lifestyles. Signs and wonders and miracles, not the approval of God. The greatest test for any Christian, are you ready for this? To prove whether they are believers and they are legit, is not this right up here, what they do. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit, not the gifts. Look, God can anoint a donkey to talk. Hey, don't look at my ears. They're short. You know what I'm saying? He can do anything. He can make rocks cry out. Okay? So let's not get caught up in that. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, and they that make should make an image to the beast which had been wounded by a sword and did live. Go to Matthew chapter 24. I want to show you something here. Keep your finger there. Just a few more minutes and I'm going to be out of your way. I just really need to give this to you. I want to show you something that that isn't necessarily widely taught, because you have to do a little more research than just on the top of surface of the of Scripture. Okay, so let's go. You there? Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. I'm going to give you just a couple scriptures here. And when you therefore see the abomination desolation spoken of Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains. Now, we know that it's talking about Revelation chapter 13, because then all of this, lack of a better word, all this hell breaks loose, Satan's on earth, the Antichrist has gone from you know, politician of the year, to now everybody knows this is the devil. Even Israel finally says, do you know right now Israel and their highest rabbis believe, this is what the rabbis believe, that in 2016 that their Messiah will come to fruition. They said they had an encounter around 2013. They didn't say some type of private spiritual encounter, I don't know, and that it was revealed to them, and that in 2016 their Messiah will come. Well, who is that Messiah? That is the Antichrist. The Islamic followers, they believe that the Mahdi is going to come in 2016. That's why all this war is happening in Iran and all the stuff with Saudi Arabia. They all believe that their Messiah comes on the wings and the winds of war. And it's all pointing to 2016. Does that mean the Antichrist comes into power? I don't know. But the point is, all the signs are pushing that way, isn't it? Okay? So, hey, you know what that tells me? That doesn't make me fearful. That makes me think, all right, that means the two witnesses are coming, and we're going to get into some... Come on now, we fixed that. Why do you think we're here? Let me go on. Y'all looking tired. Where do I want to go with this? I'm trying to find my scripture that I want to give to you. So verse 29, immediately after those tribulations of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars from heaven and the powers shall be shaken. And there shall appear the Son of Man, there shall be a sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and he and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. Woo! Where is it coming? The clouds of heaven with power and great glory. But look at verse 24. Go back to verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. Let me tell you what Jesus was saying. In the original Greek, it is not plural. It's singular. There will be a false Messiah and a false prophet. Look in the time frame of what Jesus just said in context. When was it? after the abomination that causes desolation. He says all these things, and he comes right to verse 24, and he says, there shall arise a false Christ and a false prophet, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if possible they shall deceive even the very elect. You might want to write that down, because King James and other translations don't have it right. It is in the original Greek, false Christ and false Messiah. Please remember, Jesus wrote Revelation chapter 13 as well. Is that okay? I wanted to show it to you because it's not widely taught around that area there. Okay, let's move on. I got to go. And then he says he had great power, verse 15, to give life unto the image, that the image of the beast should be both speak and cause that the many that should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So some type of image is going to be placed. It's going to look like it's going to have life. And he causes all great and small, both rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. Everybody say mark. Really the word there is like a carving, like a tattoo. You're going to receive a mark like a tattoo or a stamp in their right hand or in their foreheads. The foreheads is a bad translation. It really means face. Write down face. You probably not had it translated that way before, because you always see it in the movies in the forehead. But it has to do with the face. You say, why is that, Pastor? Because we're talking about biometrics. John did not know what biometrics were. I have a book here I want to suggest to you. It's called Beast Tech. Beast Tech by Terry Cook and Tom Horn. If you want to know what's happening, and this is 2013, information has already exceeded this book. But if you want to know about the beast technology and what they have planned for us, from years and years ago, even into Nazi Germany time, all the demonic plans for the Antichrist system, you'll want to read in this book, Beast Tech. Tremendous book. It'll open your eyes and say, oh, wow. That little chip in your credit card is not so you can get money out of the bank. There's a lot more to it. And the biometrics, nobody has an eye like you. Nobody has certain DNA qualities like you. So it has a lot more to do with that. So I recommend that. Look here in verse 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Let me say this real quick. How many of y'all remember back in the World War II days? You could not buy food without a stamp book. Is that right? You had to, but you couldn't, you wanted sugar, you better bring the book. You better bring your stamp. I've been in Communist Cuba. Brother Mike's been there. Pastor Jennifer. They still have ration cards. Did it ever happen in America? You betcha. You could not buy. So don't tell me it can't happen, because it can happen. And it will happen again. And then finally, I'm closing. And here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding come to the number, count the number of the beast, for the number of a man, and his number is 666. Here's the point about 666. It's the number of a man type of system. A man type of system, an economic system, a social system, a political system, a religious system, a military system. Okay? And very, very, very powerful truths right there. And there's a preacher that's going around saying you could take the mark of the beast and still live. I just read to you, you better not take the mark of the beast. Amen? And so great times are before us. God is moving in the midst of our lives, and we have nothing to fear, amen? But we need to be armed with power. And the last thing I want to leave you with is don't get caught up in signs and wonders and miracles. Get caught up in Jesus. Father, we love you. We do thank you for signs and wonders and miracles. We do thank you still healing. You're still doing great things, raising the dead. And we long for everything that you have for us. But Jesus, we're going to follow you. We're going to follow your word. If it don't match it, if it don't feel right, if it don't look right, smell right, it don't taste right, if it don't even walk right, we don't want nothing to do with it. And so we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this house, and bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.